pray for Israel, why Israel is important to us as believers as well also. So I'll start off with a few facts about the people and the land. Israel is the only landmass that straddles three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. And that is definitely strategic by God's hand. I believe that it's there so that all the nations can get easy access to Israel as a land. And Israel is called the navel of the earth. And when you look on the map, it is dead center of all the continents of the world. So I'm just trying to show you that Israel is a very important place and a people. Israel is mentioned 2,507 times in the Bible, 79 times in the New Covenant, and it refers to Jacob, the people, and to a geographical point on the map also. Israel has the highest number of scientists, you know, when judged by the rest of the world. You have the most number of Nobel Peace Prize winners and inventors. The Bible tells us that Israel would be a blessing to the nations, and you can see by those statistics there that it is. Hebrew is the only language to be revived from dead, more or less. In fact, it was only the rabbis that spoke in Hebrew for a period of time before they came back into the land. And it's the only nation to be born in a day. In Isaiah 66:8, it says, "Can a nation be born in a day?" And the answer is yes, and it was Israel alone. Israel is God's time clock. And when I say time clock, it's Israel tells us what time in history we are concerning the end times. And as you watch what's going on in Israel now, we know what time it is and that we are in the end times. Israel is obviously very important in the area of prophecy. So if you're watching Israel, you'll never be the foolish virgin and get caught unawares, because you'll know what time it is. Amen. Yeshua Jesus is an Orthodox Jew. It's a shock to many. Maybe not to most folks here, but he was an Orthodox Jew. If he wasn't an Orthodox Jew, he wouldn't have been able to speak in the synagogue. He lived as a Jew, died as a Jew, and is returning as a Jew. Amen. It's the only country that bears the same name, speaks the same language, and holds up the same faith, and inhabits the same land after 3,000 years. Jerusalem has endured more violence than any other city on the planet, basically. It's been attacked 52 times, captured 44 times, completely destroyed 2 times. God has given Israel to the Jewish people as an everlasting possession. And that is the country that he's coming back to. He's not coming back to London or Paris or wherever. He's coming back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And in the millennium, we will celebrate with Israel the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, verse 6. 21. Now we're going to move over to God's love for Israel. And I'm going to show you through scripture where God shows his love and speaks of his love for Israel. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. Now Adonai said to Abraham, "Get yourself out of the country, away from your kinsmen and away from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." Israel is a great nation, and after 70 years of being back in the land, they're, you know, up there with America and the world powers, which is quite incredible, really. You know, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you, and by you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 8. My eyes are terrible, so I'm just trying to. "For you are a people. You are a people set apart as holy for Adonai your God. Adonai your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of on the face of the earth to be a unique treasure." So out of all the nations, out of all peoples, he chooses little and insignificant Israel to be his people. And because they're a small nation, it's quite easy to see the power of God work through a small nation rather than a large nation that can, call themselves powerful because they have numbers and so forth. Isaiah 53. No, sorry, Isaiah 47, 15 to 16. Sorry, Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 4. "But now this is what Adonai says, he who created you, Yaakov, he who formed you, Israel, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I am calling you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flames will not burn you." So God is showing his protection for Israel as a people and his love for them. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Does anybody want to read that for me? Yeah.
The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.
Hosea 11, verse 1. Somebody could find that. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. Many of you women who had children, I'm told that a first son is special. So you know that kind of feeling, so you can empathize with how God feels about Israel. Romans 11, verse 1 to 2, and 28 to 29. Romans 11, verse 1 to 2, and 28 to 29. If somebody would like to read that. Okay. Psalm 121, verse 4.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
Amen. God doesn't sleep, take a nap, take a rest when it comes to Israel. In fact, he doesn't sleep at all, he doesn't need it. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May shalom be within your ramparts, prosperity in your palaces. If you want to be blessed, pray for Israel. God offers Israel a unique opportunity to become a model nation, to live their lives according to his way, for all nations to see how blessed and prosperous that they were, so that they could follow suit and receive God's blessings, but made it clear that they are great, not of their own power, but because of him, because he has chosen them. And on that note, You are special because God has chosen you.
Amen.
So, looking at that, we are one and the same. I believe we are one and the same people. Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, you stone those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children, just as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you refused. I just want you to picture in your mind that picture of a hen with her chicks under her wings. And it's a beautiful picture how God loves us and wants to cuddle us as his chicks, basically. Now, listen to the language that God uses when he's speaking of Israel. And by this, you should know how precious the children of Israel are to him. Israel, my treasured possession. Who do you regard as your treasured possession? I'm sure many of you would say your children. So God feels the same way about the children of Israel. My chosen ones. And that applies to you because, like I said, you've already been chosen. A light to the nations. My people. The apple of his eye. Now we know how it is when we get poked in the eye. It's not very nice. And the world at the moment, in their ignorance, are poking God in the eye by attacking Israel. And judgment will come through that because he will judge the nations by the way they treat Israel. That's scriptural. He calls them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They operate under his name. Well, they're supposed to be, and that's why it's so serious a thing when they sin in that nation, because they're supposed to be representing God and they're not showing him in his true light by the way they're operating, but he still loves them. A special treasure above all peoples. Israel, my firstborn son. I mentioned that. Okay. So those are the ways that God expresses his love for Israel as a nation and a people. And now we got onto the section why we pray for Israel. Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who curses you, and by all the families of the earth, by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now many nations have come and many nations have gone, but Israel stands and will stand forever. As long as there's day and night, Israel will be there. That's mentioned in the Word of God. Now, these are some of the nations, that the empires actually, that have gone out of circulation while Israel is still standing. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Byzantines, the Arabs, the Crusaders, the Mamluks, the Ottomans, and sadly, even the British Empire, because of the way they have treated Israel. I think the British Empire, once they gave away Israel to the Arab nations, most of the land, that's when the British Empire failed and went down within 50 years. And remember, the sun never went down on the British Empire at that time. Another reason why we pray for Israel, because of all the exterminations throughout history, because it's like the nations under the influence of Satan have tried to destroy completely Israel, but that will not happen. We have been grafted in to the Jewish olive tree. So if we could go to Romans 11 and start from 11, please. Yeah. Moreover, if their stumbling brings riches to the world, that is, if Israel's being placed temporarily in a condition less favoured than that of the Gentiles is bringing riches to the latter, how much greater will Israel in its fullness bring them? However, to those of you who are Gentiles, I say this, since I myself am an emissary sent to the Gentiles, I make known the importance of my work, in the hope that somehow I may provoke some of my own people to jealousy and save some of them. For if their casting Yeshua aside meant reconciliation for the world, what will their acceptance be? It will be life from the dead. Now, if the challah offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole of the loaf. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But some branches were broken off, and you were a wild olive, were grafted in amongst them, and have become equal sharers in the rich fruit of the olive tree. Then don't boast if you were better than the branches. Better than the branches. However, if you do boast, remember that you were not supporting the root. The root supports you. So you will say, branches were broken off, so that I might be grafted in. True, but so what? They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will certainly won't spare you. And I find many Christians are very arrogant concerning Israel. And I think it's, replacement theology and remnants of it that they keep in their heads that causes them to dislike Israel and boast over them. So take a good look at God's kindness and severity. On the one hand, severity towards those who fell off, but on the other hand, God's kindness towards you, provided you maintain yourself in that kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. Moreover, the others, if they do not persist in their lack of trust, will be grafted in, because God is able to graft them back in. For if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will the natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? Now, this is a fact that you can take a branch off an olive tree, cut it out, put it at the base of the tree, and you can leave it for a year, 2 years, till it's totally dried out. But it can be grafted back into the tree and it will start to grow, which is an impossible thing, really. And that is equivalent to is Ezekiel's dry bones. Yeah. So in these last days, those dry branches of the Jewish nation will be grafted back into that olive and they will bring forth good fruit. Now, when talking about being grafted in, we're also called adopted. We, the believing Christians, are adopted. Now, what does adoption mean to you, say Nick?
Oh, thanks. chosen, because if you're naturally born, born someone, but if you adopt someone, you actually go and choose them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The person.
Yeah, yeah.
Joyce?
No idea. Adopted. Mm. If somebody loves me enough to want me to be part of their family.
Mm. Edwin?
Yes, you get all the rights of being born into the family.
Okay, adoption is full rights and responsibilities of the natural offspring. And we've been adopted into the Jewish olive tree, the Jewish family. So I'll let that sink in for a bit. And imagine yourself being adopted by a family and what that would mean to you. Okay. And there's just one thing that I missed off my other list, was Hosea. We read that the Lord said to Hosea, take yourself a wife of whoredom, and have the children, and have children with her of whoredom. Hosea obeyed, marrying a woman named Gomer, who was unfaithful to him. Why did God tell Hosea to marry a prostitute? For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking Yahweh. God wanted to provide an illustration of his relationship with the people of Israel, who had been unfaithful to him by practicing idolatry. Now, can you imagine being married to a virtual prostitute and then having to love her and buy her back from slavery? And that's what Hosea had to do. But that shows you the love that God has for us. I mean, how many of us would tolerate that kind of behavior from a partner? It would be horrible, wouldn't it? But yet, he will forgive Israel. The Bible says in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. So without the Jews, there can be no salvation.
Amen.
Their rejection meant our acceptance. So it wasn't a bad thing that the Jews rejected Jesus, because that meant that he could come over to us as Gentiles and offer salvation to us. Praying for Israel is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. We must pray for Israel because they will accept the Antichrist. They will accept the Antichrist. And that's not good in any way. So pray for the salvation of Israel. Israel is tied to God's character. And as I've said earlier on, that they carry his name. And the world scoffs and the world makes fun and of Israel. And it reflects on God. That's why God has to come through for them. Otherwise, it would make him look bad, very bad. And Jesus does not come back until the Jews say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they have to be there and in the land en masse to say that. In Hebrew, it's Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. So if we could say that together. Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay. Who cares about the land? God does. That's why he refers to so many times in the Bible as my land. Joel 3:2, Isaiah 14:25, Ezekiel 38:16. God has created the whole earth, but he has singled out the land of Israel as home for his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom we know today as the Jewish people. Genesis 24:7. God has given it to them as an everlasting covenant. Psalm 105:8-11. And 1 Chronicles 16:14-18. But the Jewish people haven't always been allowed to live there. Because of disobedience, they have twice been exiled from the land and twice brought back. Actually, even during those two periods of exile, there were always some Jewish people living in the land. Zechariah 7:14 and Jeremiah 14:12. The second return really got going about 150 years ago, was strongly supported by leading Christians in Britain, including people like Spurgeon and Wilberforce. The Bible contains hundreds of references to this second return from exile, which is still going on today. Ezekiel 25:28-25. The land promised to the Jewish people is larger than today's state of Israel. In fact, the disputed West Bank is the heartland of Israel, known in the Bible as Judea and Samaria. The Palestinians want this area where all the action of the Bible happened. That cannot be. With Jerusalem at its center, the Jewish right to the whole land was internationally recognized in the Treaty of Lausanne in 1922, when Britain was given responsibility for establishing a Jewish homeland in the area known as Palestine. This international agreement has never been annulled and therefore still in force today, with Israel being its fulfillment. One day Jesus will return to this land to establish his kingdom on earth. He will reign from Jerusalem, inheriting the throne of his forefather, King David. No surprise then that Jerusalem is the center of the land dispute, and no wonder that God cares about this land. Why care about the Jews? Jesus said, "Salvation is from the Jews," John 4:22. So we can just take the salvation and forget about the Jews. The problem with this idea is that the living God says that he has an eternal covenant with the Jewish people. They are in relationship with him. So if we are in relationship with the living God, we are in relationship with the Jewish people too. The only question for us to decide is what kind of relationship will it be? For 1,000 years before Christianity became, the Jewish people were witness to the power of a God who saved them from slavery in Egypt by a miracle of deliverance. To the present day, they remain living witnesses to his grace and power. There's been so many miracles happening in Israel, especially since October the 7th, and the BBC not reporting this, or any other station. But God is alive and at work in Israel. In 1998, the chief rabbi of Israel went to visit King Hussein of Jordan, who had been treated for cancer in hospital in America. When he left, he gave the king a Bible with this text from Jeremiah inscribed on the inside cover. "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Jeremiah 17:14. All we know about the living God comes to us through the Jewish people, and yet for centuries they have been persecuted in Britain as in other lands. The horrors of expulsion from one English town after another in the 13th century were followed by expulsion from all England in 1920. Expulsion from Spain 200 years later, and then the Holocaust. At last, the conscience of the Christian in Europe awoke to the result of centuries of hostility towards the Jews. Isn't it time we cared about the Jews? And I'm just going to give 7 reasons why we should pray for Israel. God has not finished with Israel. Romans 11, 1-2. Has God cast away his people? Certainly not. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. "Again shall I rebuild you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin Israel." And that's in Jeremiah 31, 3. And today we have Israel rebuilt, just as the Bible says. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So Israel cannot escape its responsibilities to God. It has to be fulfilled through them. The Word of God commands us to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. "You who call upon the name of the Lord, give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem as a praise in all the earth. Isaiah 62, 6 to 7. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them cry out, spare your people, O Lord. The church has a continuing dependence upon the past, present, and future of Israel. Remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Whom are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory of the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of who are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. For Gentiles have benefited from the Jewish people's fall. Through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles. If their falling away was riches for the world, what will their reconciliation be but life from the dead? God loves Israel. If we have his love and his spirit, shouldn't we? Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. They are beloved for the sake of the fathers, Romans 11:28. Yeshua's return to take up his 1,000-year reign is dependent upon Israel's salvation, that he may send Yeshua, whom heaven is restraining until the time of restoration of all things, as spoken by God through the mouth of his holy prophets. Behold, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they that have pierced him.